Now, hey everyone, this is Logan with Cigar Federation. Tonight we have a very special guest, Tom from Commonwealth Cedar Spills, and we'll introduce Tom here in a second. But 2 weeks in a row, you're very lucky to not have Rob staring his ugly mug back at you. So we have the world famous, my favorite Canadian cigar surgeon. How's it going, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How cold is it up there?
You know, it's a weird place here in Calgary. It gets warm, it gets cold, it gets warm, it gets cold. Today it's like 40 degrees Fahrenheit for, you know, converting from Canadiana to Americana.
Okay.
But I smoked on Cigar Chat the virtual Hearth a couple weeks ago, and it was something like, I want to say 0 degrees Fahrenheit. It was quite nipply out.
0 degrees Fahrenheit would be like sub-freezing.
Sub-freezing, correct.
And it got that cold already?
Yeah, it can get, right about now, it could be anywhere from minus 15 Fahrenheit up to 50 degrees Fahrenheit, just depending on what it feels like that day.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Surgeon. It's always a pleasure to have you step in for Rob, because he just sucks. And just want to thank everyone listening in on AFRN, Armed Forces Radio Network. We appreciate you guys serving our country every day. And hopefully in this hour we can provide you a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of humor, and maybe a few laughs. So, like I said,
coming up on Memorial Day too, aren't we, Logan?
Memorial Day?
Is it, what do you guys have up there? Is it Veterans Day or Memorial Day?
Veterans Day.
I was going to blame that on you being Canadian, but no, we do have Veterans Day coming up.
We call it Memorial Day, but November 11th, yeah.
November 11th. Has Canada even been in any wars?
Oh, my friend, well, why would you say that? That's that. Our veterans have served in a significant number of mm-hmm. armed conflicts, World War One, World War Two.
I didn't know that.
A little bit of Canadiana, just to bore everyone out there. World War Two was a turning point in Canadian history where Canada got to separate from England and make the decision to enter World War Two.
Really?
So there was a lot of, shout out to all the Quebec veterans out there. All of the veterans across Canada that served, we've got a long history of serving in armed conflicts. So,
I stand corrected and feel like an idiot. So, with that being said,
I can give you some more useless trivia.
Let's hear it. I love useless trivia.
All right, Canada was one of the only modern countries, and that's in the previous century, to actually ask for its independence, and was granted it.
Really?
They didn't have to fight for it. They didn't have to do much anything. They just asked. They were granted. Didn't have to secede from the British Empire. You just asked I believe it was the Queen at the time, and she was like, yeah, sure, no problem.
I'm pretty sure we apologized to them afterwards, though.
Yeah. Well, but you got a VAT tax, right? Doesn't that go to the Queen and stuff or something, like when she comes to visit?
No, we have a general sales tax for the country, but no, we don't kick any pence back to the English.
Oh, very cool.
I didn't even realize Canada was a British colony.
Of course, man. We
have French people.
Mm-hmm. We have French people, absolutely.
I am such an idiot, and I thought I was somewhat cultured. I guess I'm just an idiot.
We hang tight with the Australians and the New Zealands as the colonials.
As the colonials.
Exactly.
Huh. Well, I'm an idiot. So, without any further ado, we have Tom from Commonwealth Cedar Spills. Tom, what's going on?
Yeah, well, not too much. Just enjoying the Canadian trivia night we're having. This is good.
Well, it's more interesting than if Rob was here, because Rob would be talking about, oh, Logan's in the green room, oh, the green room. It's just so annoying. And I'm not even in the green room. I'm actually on site in an undisclosed location in my hotel room, so... I'm not even out in the garage, so I can't smoke, so it kind of sucks, but,
Same here. I'm in the office at home, and I don't smoke inside the house, and, it's about, I don't know, 40 degrees outside, so it's a little too cold.
I hear ya. Well, Tom, tell everyone, I know we had you on the show, and I was in India earlier this year.
That was fun.
I know, it was fun, and that's why we're having back on, because we're tons of fun, and even double the fun when Rob's not here. That's a common thing, of course. But tell everyone a little bit about Commonwealth Cedar Spills and what they are.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We've been around for about 2 years now. Probably 2 or 3 years ago, I was into cigars probably 5 to 10 years ago, but stopped just for a little while. And when I got back into it, I was kind of between jobs. I'd worked in software for Macromedia and Adobe Systems for like 10, 12 years. And I took a year off and just did much and nothing. The wife kind of hated it because she could tell I was getting antsy and just needed something to do. And as I got back into cigars once again, and we're headquartered here and we live in Louisville, Kentucky, and I started trying a couple of different cigars from some of the great cigar shops we have around town. As I think most people do when you get into a new hobby or you start exploring something new, you start reading up on it, and I read up on Cedar Spills as just a really small, I don't even want to say cliff note, but maybe a tiny line or a footnote in a couple of different books, and I was like, this is cool. I want to go get some. So I go online, and I look around, and I can't find anybody. And being kind of a bold and brash kind of guy that I am, I went online to a couple of different cigar forums and just a couple of Facebook pages and asked about them, and everybody's like, yeah, you just use the little, you know, the little strip that's inside some cigar boxes these days, and you use those. And I was like, all right. And I looked around online, and yeah, sure enough, other than an old defunct German company who sold something that looked like a popsicle stick, there weren't any. And it made sense because the tradition was to literally break off a piece of Spanish cedar, which is actually mahogany, but break that off into like from a strip from a piece of wood and light it and light a cigar. Well, I took one of those inserts from a cigar maker whose box still contains some of those strips with a little ink on it sometimes, and I broke it off and I lit a cigar with it. And I happened to be at, being here in Louisville, Kentucky, I think it was at the Kentucky Oaks, which is actually the race before the Kentucky Derby on a Friday. And it's a great cigar event. It really is. If you're outside smoking, the minute you put a cigar out there, every other guy from in town, out of town, gathers up. Well, I took that piece of cedar that I brought in my pocket, went ahead and tried to light my cigar. And it took a while to light because it's fairly thick, but it did eventually start to burn. And I just took my cigar, I rolled the foot, I got it going nice and well, puffed on it. I was like, this is cool, this is nice, it works. Then I went to shake that piece of wood, and I'm literally just going like this. I'm just going up and down shaking it, and I didn't realize I had my nice white shirt on, and sure enough, boom, all that charcoal, that ash, but mostly char, just went on my nice white shirt, and right there I kind of had that epiphany, like there's got to be a better way. And since I was looking for something to do, had some money, decided let's see if this is a viable business, so just started thinking it through, talking to people, getting some different types of Spanish cedar from different wood mills around the country to see what would work, what wouldn't, if it's going to be a commercial venture. And we did a lot of burn testing, taking a lot of different pieces of wood, went through probably 2 dozen cigars, got a couple different boxes. The cigar didn't matter so much, we didn't think, but the thickness of the wood, the attributes there, the humidity level in the wood and the shape and stuff, until we came up with what we have now, which is a cedar spill. Our take on a cedar spill. And again, there are many different ways to light a cigar. You know, I prefer cedar spills, then matches, then a soft, what I call a soft lighter, and then finally a blowtorch or the creme brulee torches that you see people use that actually should be used in a pastry kitchen. You know, like 4 or 5 different, you know, flames going real hard at once to light a cigar. And no matter which one of those you use, I always think, take your time, slow down. It's what a cigar is about anyways. If you're sitting, whether it's at home or in a cigar club or a lounge, take your time when lighting a cigar. And when you use a cedar spill, it kind of forces you to do that because wood has a set burn rate. It also has a set temperature. It's only going to get so hot. And it's a nice softer flame. And it really allows you to, what we say, roast and toast instead of scorching and torching your cigar. And I think there's a little credence to the fact that if you use a softer flame, you taste more of the cigar sooner. And I've always thought, in the few years that I've been smoking here, the cigars I smoke, the flavor evolves. It doesn't change. It evolves as I start at the foot, get through a quarter into the half, and then toward the last inch. And it's just been a fun 2 years reintroducing this oldest of tradition, seeing it get a little more popular, hearing a little more, I take it as a compliment when I start hearing discussions online and in some of the print magazines out there about char and about not burning your cigar at the very beginning. Yeah, you do want to light it, you want to cause combustion, but you really don't want to turn and burn the foot of your cigar to char. You don't want charcoal. Because as you're puffing, you're going to bring that into the cigar, into the binder, into the filler, and you'll have a dramatic change in your cigar, which is, it's kind of funny when I'm out, and I'm never rude. I'm always very polite, cigar etiquette-wise, and speaking with people. When they say, wow, the cigar changed a whole lot, and I'm like, okay, I'm sure it did. Your palate tasted one thing, and it now tastes something else. But I've also noticed enough with the guys I smoke with regularly that when they use a spill or even a match, I guess it's just wood perhaps, but a softer flame, you taste more of the cigar sooner. And I think cigar makers, and I prefer to call them cigar artisans, you know, they put a lot of time and effort into their blends to use a softer flame to get a cigar to ignite and to smolder slowly. Just tastes better using a softer flame. So, yeah, so it's been 2 years making the nice little wooden sticks. An incredible journey, meeting a lot of great boutique cigar makers out there. We're on 3 continents now selling stuff. It's just been a lot of fun putting pictures and logos and foreign languages on there and getting them out there. It's just been a lot of fun. But, yeah, a cedar spill is just the most traditional way to light a cigar that there is, and I think it can make a bit of a difference. Now, obviously, you're on a golf course, you're in the high winds, you're out near the water, you know, anywhere you got a lot of wind, or in a car, you know, you don't use a spill. You probably can't even light a match under those conditions. Had one guy do a little clip, I don't know if it's still up on YouTube. He took a spill in his car, lit it, and the window was open, holding it like this, and the thing just burned up like a piece of flash paper in his hand. Which I thought was good. It's like showing you don't do that. That's what you don't want to do. But right. when you're sitting down with your friends and you're in the lounge or you're somewhere, you know, take the time out and do it right. And regardless of what you use to light your cigar, take your time.
Yeah. So let me I'm a curious guy by nature, and I've got several of your spills. Mm-hmm. And I the ones I got at the Charm Leaf event at IPCPR I really liked because they were a little bit of shorter ones. But so let me ask some technical questions for people out there that, heaven forbid, use maybe a Bic lighter to light their cigar. Mm-hmm. You know, tell why, because I'm a butane guy because one, a convenience, and I can light the cigar anywhere. I smoke a lot in the car, things like that. But in terms of, you know, kind of toasting versus roasting, Is it the process that it allows the oils in the cigar to heat up? You're actually heating the cigar versus lighting the cigar in the process, or what makes the spill superior to, say, butane?
Well, and there's nothing wrong with butane. If you're going to light a cigar and you need to use a lighter, wind conditions or whatever, butane is definitely the way to go because it burns the cleanest out of all the fuels. You don't want to use a Zippo lighter. I mean, that's probably one of the worst. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is you don't want the gases from any kind of liquid or near liquid fuel to contaminate your cigar and to get into the cigar. And the same holds true with a matchstick and any matchstick with a matchstick head. There's tons of chemicals in there that cause that match to light when you strike it against the strike plate. And then the strike plate itself, you may not be aware of it, has glass particles on it. That little black part, when you strike it against it, can, if you don't allow it to burn off, contaminate your cigar. But the essence of your question comes down to a temperature. When you have tobacco, you do want to cause combustion. You do want to light your cigar. What you don't want is an excessive amount of char, or literally carbon, charcoal, to contaminate, and I use that term kind of loosely, or impact your cigar. When you use a cedar spill, you're using a thin piece of wood, and we've kind of specifically designed and shaped these. There's a little circle on the tip here to start your lighting. There's even we actually put a little flame icon, if you will, on the tip here, because we actually had somebody hold it about where I'm holding it now.
Light it the wrong way.
Yeah, and you'd think, really? I mean, you hold it here, you light it in the middle. And then they were like, well, it went out. And I'm like, well, it's a piece of wood, not a fuse. But regardless, what we want is we want a soft flame. We want an easy temperature. And I think if I recall the burn temperatures approximately, a set flame from a piece of wood like that or a match is about 1,200 degrees, anywhere up to 2,100, 2,200. And then the minute you start going into butane or pressurized lighters, and like I've got a couple of them and I love them and I use them, but I keep a fair distance, and by that I mean an inch to an inch and a half from the foot of my cigar anytime I'm using a butane or a blowtorch lighter, because I want to transfer the heat to the foot of the cigar. I don't want to apply the heat. And that may sound a little, well, crazy or different, or, well, I'm in a hurry. Well, if you're in a hurry, light the darn thing up, smoke your cigar, and be on your way. But when you're taking the time to do things right and just enjoy it and really taste more of it, using a softer flame, and if again, if I'm remembering the numbers right, I want to say it's about 1,200 degrees to about 2,100, 2,200 from a match, you're really going to cause the water and the oil inside of the cigar to actually start to combust slower than by taking that blowtorch, applying it right to the foot, which, hey, you're going to get ignition. You're going to get fire, but you are scorching the tobacco. You're actually causing the water and the oils in the tobacco, mostly the water, to depart quicker from the tobacco. So what's left to burn? Well, you've got the tobacco leaf and the organics there and the oil that's in there to start to ignite. And it's burning at a hotter rate, so there's going to be some change in the flavor. Now, I don't want to get into a whole bunch of the chemistry and the physics of it all, but if we think about it, we start slower. We allow the water and the oil and the things in the cigar at the foot just to get up to temperature and combust. And yes, we're going to get char on the outer wrapper, but not a significant amount. And it just causes everything in the cigar as you puff, and you want to puff, you want to roll, you want to turn your cigar while you're lighting it, regardless of what you're using it, and take your time so that as things come up and start to combust, as you're puffing in and out, you're not pulling into the cigar carbon, excessive amounts of carbon or char or charcoal. And I just think spills and matches are my preferred way to go. And on occasion, you know, if I'm somewhere and I don't have a spill with me, which is very rare, you know,
I would think it would be very rare considering you make the egg bags.
Has happened, you know, you go on a flight somewhere with the wife on a last minute trip out of town that she didn't tell you about, and you're like, okay, I find a cigar shop, and I will, you know, a couple of them, they'll take the inserts from, usually the only guys who are still putting it out there that I see as far as the inserts into boxes are some of the major size, I break cigar companies into the brand new guys in the blocks, the boutique cigar makers, and the huge guys, the big, yep, the international ones, and the largest American guys. There are only probably I can count on my hand the guys that I know are still putting, and it is great wood. It's Spanish cedar. They're still putting it in the boxes, but it also has ink on it. So I'm real careful when I take one of those to break off the strip, peel it off, and make sure there's no ink on it and use it. But again, it is thicker than the wood that I use for our spills, and I'll use them and light them that way, and it works real well. And I like our spill for a couple of reasons. It's about 10, 11 inches long. You can use them more than once. It just makes it easier. It's tapered, and it just starts the process of lighting. It's really easy. Hold it. And that's the other one. People ask, well, what if I use a butane lighter? It doesn't matter. Your cigar isn't in the process yet. You know, you can use a candle. You could use a lighter. You could use a match. You could even hold this on an electric stove if you want. It's wood. It will combust when it gets to a certain temperature and start to light, and you'll have a flame. Where the flame comes from originally doesn't matter. Once your spill is lit, you can then take it to your cigar. And I don't know if you're going to ask this, but a lot of people will often go, where does the name or the word spill come from?
That's going to be my next question, actually.
Cool. Well, I'm kind of prepared for that one. The idea of a spill, from the research and the looking around I did, actually comes from, I want to say, Austro-Germany. That's kind of its derivation. And it was really a split of wood. So Think of it as a spill in Spanish. And then if we go back to our European derivation, if you will, in the language, a split of wood. And it would be, let's take a split of wood and move the fire from the campfire to the stove, to the fireplace, to the candle, or from the candle. It was a means of moving fire from A to point B. We had split. I think if we think back about probably sometime in the 15 or 1600s, and I really can't find the date, but it's whenever we started having the global trade routes of sailing ships. At some point in time, somebody went down to the Caribbean or Central America, where they were growing tobacco, and they started looking at all these cigars, and people were using, and again, Spanish cedar is actually mahogany, and those trees grow particularly well, and I want to say exclusively, but particularly well from about, you know, we'll just call it Key West, Florida, down to about Rio. So if we're looking at a globe on that cross-section, that's kind of the area where the trees grow best. And they started just using the wood because it was there to package cigars up, to bundle it up, to wrap it up with twine and so on, and then to separate them in a box. And a lot of cigar makers today use Spanish cedar boxes. They're great. We use them to line walk-in humidors, the humidor, whether it's a desktop or like the 3-foot by 3-foot one I have. It's great wood to use because it actually repels water just enough. All wood takes in a little bit of water. And the reason we like to use Spanish cedar for cedar spills is because there's such a low oil and resin content in here to begin with that when we light this and we apply it to our cigar, we're not taking a lot of oil and water into the cigar. So again, at some point in time with commerce, somebody was going down there, got the idea, said, hey, give me that split of wood, and I'm sure they said it in German or Spanish or English or something, and all the Spanish-speaking folks eventually just turned into spill, and that's how we've got a spill to light a cigar. And the other thing to keep in mind is this is Spanish cedar, and the reason we use that for our cigars, as I said, it lights very well. It has a low oil and resin content to it, so we're not going to contaminate our cigars. If you were to take American red cedar or the kind of cedar you put in your guinea pig or gerbil cage or that you make outdoor furniture with and light that,
it'd stink.
It would
terribly.
Kind of be pretty harsh. I mean, it would kind of be the worst possible thing you could do, because the reason that's such a great wood to use outside for outdoor furniture is
it repels bugs.
Yeah, it repels bugs. It repels water pretty darn good. It lasts. It's very durable, but it's got a really high resin oil and resin content to it. Mahogany, Spanish cedar, doesn't, and it's just an ideal source to use. And again, I think it's just, you know, in the parts of the world where they're grown tobacco, Cuba, the Caribbean, Mexico down to Central and South America, you know, it was just a common wood they had there. It's very flexible, it's very durable, and its low resin and oil content makes it ideal to light something with if you don't want to contaminate its flavor, like a pipe, in our case, cigars, pipes, anything you might want to, you know, put tobacco on.
Got it. Okay. So I've got so many questions about these spills because they they fascinate me. Mm-hmm. So first of all, why I've always heard the term Spanish cedar, and mm-hmm. we're saying mahogany. What mm-hmm. what's the functional difference? Because I thought the woods were completely different species.
They are a little different, but as I've talked to most of the mills where I look around here, and it's a really weird thing in the United States. If you want Spanish cedar, you have better luck acquiring it east of the Mississippi. A couple of the mill guys told me it's just by the nature of how it comes out of trucks from Central America through Mexico, and as soon as it gets to Texas, Mississippi, we use more of it on the east of the Mississippi because there's more money east of the Mississippi, and there's more boardrooms east of the Mississippi, and there's more places where we're going to use it. And I was like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. Now, to be ultra technical, yeah, there's probably a slight difference when you start talking wood and the genus and species and the names. But when I talked to all the lumber mills that I went with, and I ended up finding a couple of different suppliers, one here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, another one in upstate New York that I like, they're like, well, no, as we use it and we refer to it, Spanish cedar and mahogany are one and the same for our uses. It's just one of the things. They get them off of trees, you know, the big round tree comes off the truck. They take a nice razor sharp thing and just start, you know, cutting it down and shaving it. So that's kind of where it came from. And I thought it was a little odd too, but it's like, nope, refer to it as Spanish cedar, because if you don't say Spanish cedar, you're going to end up with that American red. What's the other one? There's the stuff they put in gerbil and guinea pig cages.
I thought it was just red cedar.
And the most basic red cedar. I lived out in Seattle for a while, and we had tons of cedar trees, and they were nice, but again, you burn them, and it's like there's a real big odor that goes on with them.
There's a reason you line your people line their closets with them to keep the moths away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Closets, keeps
the bugs out.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, you line your cars with them in Canada?
Yeah.
Well, not not normal Canadians. If they're obsessed Canadians with cigar smoking, they might. I don't know anybody like that.
But think about using that wood in your desktop humidor and a walk-in humidor. I mean, that oil and resin would just so contaminate and take into, you know, the tobacco. Because, you know, even once your tobacco in a cigar is, even if it's wrapped up in cellophane, and I argue a little bit, or just right there, you know, the tobacco, it's organic. It's still wet. It's still moist. We want to keep that 70, 65, 67, whatever that humidity temperature range. If you were to use any other wood other than Spanish cedar in those walk-in humidors, one, it would be prohibitively expensive if we went to other medium to hardwoods. And if you went to different ones, and it's really funny, medium woods, the softer woods, they start to get very aromatic, and you don't want that. So this is kind of what I call, it's the happy medium of woods. It's real flexible. You can use it for a lot of things. It's beautiful. Again, Spanish cedar is just a great way to go. And I think, again, you know, if we think back of the world history, commerce, sugar, tobacco, the things that moved back around in the day, the trees that they had around them in that particular climate, mahogany trees. There's just a lot of it around there, and it looks great and it's beautiful, as opposed to here in the States where we probably have more pine trees, oak trees, and other woods up here. So, you know, kind of neat. Although I guess, you know, we still grow some tobacco here in the U.S., but not nearly as much as, you know, down south.
Very true. So, Surgeon, do Canadians use spills?
You know, I'm not the end-all, be-all knowledgeable guy about what all Canadians do, but I honestly have not used the spill myself. I'm like you. I have questions out the yin-yang here.
Well, ask them.
It's interesting to me. So, Tom, when you're using a spill and you're toasting and you're lighting, what kind of time investment are you typically spending as the, obviously, resident expert on spills? Mm-hmm. What kind of time are you spending lighting a cigar?
When I light a cigar, okay, I've got it out of the cellophane, it's in my hand, I'm about to turn it. You know, it's actually longer. If you would have asked me this probably a year and a half ago, I probably would have said I'm taking 30 seconds or so to light my cigar. But a certain guy turned me on to what I should do, and I do now. Even before I cut my cigar, I will light a spill. So I may actually use two spills, but generally our spills can burn anywhere from, you know, if you're quick and in a hurry, you can probably light your cigar successfully in 10 to 12 to 15 seconds, or you can burn this thing for about 30 seconds. Just depends on, are you holding the spill straight down or a small 45 degree angle? But are you guys familiar with 1502 Cigars? Enrique.
Yeah.
Enrique.
Man, absolutely. I love that
Enrique
guy.
The man.
Oh, yeah.
I
love his smokes, particularly the Ruby. I mean, the Emerald, they're great, but the Ruby is just one of my favorites. And probably 6 to 9 months ago, he just looked at me I don't know, it was IPCPR or another event, but he's just like, roast and toast that thing. It's like, toast your cigar. Before you even cut it, toast it.
Absolutely.
Oh, we've got a video of it. It was mind blowing.
A lot of discussion came out from that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, it makes it, and especially before you cut it, because of the airflow, I'm guessing, and the fact that you're taking your time. So
you're not getting those gases drawn into the cigar as you're toasting.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You're forcing it. And again, you know, if I had a cigar that was too tight or too dry, it's, you know, it wouldn't work the same. But you've got that nice cigar. The humidity, the temperature's right. I haven't cut it yet, and I'll go back and forth and cut between a straight cut and a V cut, just depending. But if I've got one of his rubies, I generally do a nice big V cut on it. But before I cut it, he just got me into the habit of taking the time, and I'll use half the spill for about 20 seconds, and I'll keep about an inch and a half, 2 inches from it, and just let the heat rise up to the cigar and turn it, and I will just toast the foot of that cigar so that the brown tobacco just gets darker and darker, and it looks like the richest cup of coffee or coffee bean I've seen. And it's not smoldering. It may just, you know, maybe a little ember of orange now and again, but that's it. I'm not causing it to ignite in a big way. I'm just causing that foot to really get a good toast on. And then I go over to the guillotine, take my cutter out, cut it, and then maybe use the rest of the spill or grab another spill. And to your original question, I will probably take 20 seconds to 30 seconds. Just kind of, you know, with a spill, if I'm holding it straight down, obviously flame, it's going to go up, heat rises. I hold it in a nice small down angle like this with that already toasted cigar. And again, and I think there's something to what Enrique says about taking the time to do it right, because toasting it first, then cutting it, that airflow, and I don't know, maybe it's because it's toasted, it's drier, the tobacco's set, that air just goes in there, and then if I puff on it a few times, I just taste more sooner. So again, I'm probably taking just under a minute or so to light a cigar, but I figure, and I thought about it when I first came out with the product, I'm like, well, what's the virtue and value? Okay, nobody can get them, but hey, maybe nobody wants them, so maybe that, you know, it's a product that no one will buy. Not the case. Maybe there's, you know, everybody's in a hurry. Well, I think it's a combination of all these things where I put out something that has a huge tradition that always has been a footnote or a small little line in a lot of books and websites about, hey, go ahead and try this thing, or, oh, they're there, but, you know, we're all in a hurry now. And I think that's what happened. People just got in a hurry of, I'm going to take this cigar, I'm just going to take the biggest flame I can find, and I'm just going to get this thing to light. And it just, it's not the same. And, you know, I'll credit Enrique, maybe a few other, the boutique guys as well. But I know specifically Enrique Sanchez at 1502 just got me into the habit now that any cigar I have, any size, you know, it could be a petite Rothschild up to the, I don't know, it's the biggest flipping 70 ring gauge crazy stuff I see now.
Man beast.
Yeah, exactly. Take my time and light it. So I'll take, you know, a minute or so and really light it. And really enjoy the tradition, but it's also the ceremony or the pomp and ceremony again of enjoying the cigar properly. And it's so fun. I've always said cigars, amongst men predominantly, but men and women, it's a passport. The minute you open up, the minute you bring out a cigar, like whether we were at the Kentucky Oaks or if we're going to Vegas or if you're anywhere, the minute you put a cigar out. And you find the fewer and fewer places we can smoke these things, mm-hmm. Which is crazy and a whole other topic. The minute you do that, you're going to find other guys, generally, who are going to come over and you're going to start talking about anything. You probably start talking about the cigars first and then whatever. But when I start using a spill, I get guys like, wow, I've never seen that before. Or isn't that a – and the first one is always, isn't that a cedar split? And I'm like, yeah, you're kind of close. It's a split of wood. We call them a spill. But it's a passport to this – camaraderie, and I love that about cigars in general. It really allows me to go into any bar, any lounge, any restaurant where I can do that, and just sit there, take the time away from the rest of the day, and engage anybody else, whether it's you guys or anybody else, in a great conversation and a great time. And if it adds one more minute to my hour, 2-3 hours out in the town, I've got no problem with that. That's kind of why I'm doing it.
It's true.
So This is a little off topic, but we have a question from the chat room, mm-hmm. So I thought I'd ask it early. You've got a paddle on the wall there.
Fraternity.
Fraternity related, or what's the story behind that?
Well, I've got a couple of things on the wall. I'm not sure what you guys can totally see there. I've got a Louisville Slugger baseball bat.
I see that.
We're here in Louisville, Kentucky, and again, you know, Kentucky has no professional sports team. So moving from, I one time lived in Ohio, then out in Seattle. You move here, and it's college everything, as our Louisville Cardinals can attest last year. Had a great time there. But there's no college teams here. But we do well with things with B. College basketball, bluegrass music, bourbon, and baseball bats. So you kind of get two Bs there. But, yeah, so there's a Louisville Slugger baseball bat back there on the wall. There is a – it's not a katana. I forgot. It's a practice sword. No, I got to think about from Aikido and a couple of other. I'm trying to think of the other art. And then I do have a fraternity paddle back there as well. In college, which is now 25 years ago, I think, I was a teak. I've met a couple of teaks actually on the road traveling around with the cigar thing, which has been kind of fun. So if that's what they're seeing, that's probably what it is.
Very nice.
But if you ever want a Louisville Slugger baseball bat, I'll give them credit. You can go online. They've got them in every color, form. There's an all pink one to support breast cancer awareness.
That'd be sweet.
The only fun part is, and we've lived here now 8 or 10 years, people will come to town to visit, you know, for whatever reason. get a baseball bat, and then they go to the airport, and there are tons of signs in the Louisville Slugger Museum downtown. You cannot carry a baseball bat on the airplane. You can't even carry the small one. They'll give you a little 12-inch one. You can't carry a club on a plane. They just don't allow it. You got to mail it home. So it's just funny out at the airport. There's like a drop box. I think someone's got a FedEx or somebody put one up there. It's like, no, if you need to mail it home, go over here, pay $20 and send it home. But yeah, you can't, as much as you might like to, given some flight, I'm sure we've all had that terrible flight experience, you can't take a baseball bat on a plane.
Great.
We're getting a word from the chat room that is Boken. Does that sound like the right word for the practice sword?
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, that is Bokan.
Thanks to QuickAF77 for that one.
I'll say it's Bokken with a little accent over, I think, the E.
Some sort of accent.
I'll straight ninja people with a sword.
Yeah, yeah.
I would if I have that.
Well, I used it for years just in practice and for exercise and perform, and then after a while I was like, I got to put this thing up on the wall. And then I looked at the baseball bat, and the thing with the Louisville Slugger baseball bat, it's a great gift, but when I got married, I gave all my groomsmen three baseball bats. Well, I had three groomsmen, so they each got one baseball bat, one big old bottle of bourbon, and I think I gave them a DVD of the movie The Aristocrat, which is about that really bad joke about the aristocrats and such. But a baseball bat, it's a great gift for anybody. If you've got a friend who opens a restaurant or a bar, they should have a baseball bat behind the counter somewhere hidden out of space.
Or a shotgun.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you get a newborn kid, boy or girl, get them a baseball bat. Put their name on it. They're going to want to use it later in life, and then get some exercise. It's a great gift.
I'm going to tell my wife that for Christmas. Be like, hon, you need a baseball bat.
Yeah.
She'd love that.
Now, if you want to segue in, I can tell you there's some other great gifts you can get, because one of the things we've been doing with our Cedar Spills is, you know, you can go to cedarspills.com, and that's kind of our marketing and education site. And I got a lot of people who are kind of surprised that I did that. I've got the e-commerce site totally separate, shop.cedarspills.com, and then the education marketing site to give you some background and some history, even a video clip of one of our oldest, most respected, and he's long since dead or passed away, cigar-smoking actors on there with a little, I found a film clip of him using a classic Cedar Spill to light his cigar. It's Orson Welles on there because, again, when you're bringing back something, it's such an old tradition that no one really knew about. I figured I got to put a lot of time and effort into giving people some context to what it's about and to tell them, you know, what's available. And then there's the e-commerce site. And when we started this a little over 2 years ago, you know, all we had were spills, you know, really great. And then we had a couple of different spill boxes. And today, you know, I've got all sorts of different things that we put up there that kind of came out. Like, this is the Nude Cigar Girl. I won't mention his name, but there's somebody who's online quite a bit in a lot of cigar forums who uses her as his icon or wallpaper. But it was a great example of a customer-driven enterprise because somebody one day came to my website, wanted one of our really nice large spill boxes. So we have spills, and we put the spills inside spill boxes. And he wanted this great picture, and it's kind of this Raquel Welch, you know, buxom, beautiful woman with a cigar looking over her shoulder. And my first response was, I'd love to do it, but I don't own the rights to it, and I don't think you're the artist. But I tell you what, let me find out. Because that's one of the things I can't do on a lot of these spills and boxes and some of the other things. I can't put the NFL logo on a spill.
Nope.
I can't put the Pittsburgh Steelers on it. I can't put the Twitter logo on it. I mean,
yep.
I've got to have that respect for other people's brand and their intellectual property. But
I can do the military.
Yeah, I can do the military. You know, I can do NASA. You know, anything. I bet you we could do some Canadian stuff out there too. You guys are great. You know, you build all the shuttle arms for us, and we appreciate that, even though we don't have shuttles anymore. But I'm sure, you know, anything you paid your tax dollars with, you can generally put on there, as long as we do it respectfully. And I never allow people to put anything on there that I would kind of question as far as, you know, the IRS, and that's here in the U.S., the Internal Revenue Service stinks. Nothing like that. Or putting the Canadian or the American flag or doing something strange with it. But I looked around and I said, all right, well, let me call and see if I can find the artist for this. And I tracked down, his name's Mike Spano, He's a great guy out of, I think he's in Long Island, New York. But he's had this image around for years, and I don't want to say it's iconic, but I've seen it enough online and in talking to Mr. Spano about it, or Mike. He's like, yeah, I don't mind when guys do that, you know, or whoever does it, if they're doing it in a small way. But the minute they start to sell T-shirts, tattoos, and bumper stickers and other things like that, then I have a bit of an issue with it. And I don't blame him. I mean, it's his intellectual property and his rights. So we reached out to him, and he was impressed that we even took the time to do that, and we licensed it from him, and we've been selling the spill boxes like that, or I'm sorry, I'm going to put this on there, see if she shows up.
There's
the nude cigar girl on a spill, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's really probably the most risque thing that we put out there. But whether you want that on a spill or you want her on a box like that, it's been a lot of fun. And it's been customer-driven, which has just been great, because when we first started out for a year, we just had spills. We put things on them in different languages, different logos, you know, obviously organizations, cigar clubs, bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, you know, all sorts of different groups, organizations, and individuals. And I wouldn't have thought that over a couple of years we'd do other things. For example, I'm really proud of this guy. He's a brand new cigar maker. I don't know if you've had, and I'm never going to say it right, La Abella. He's out of, I don't want to say Cincinnati, but it's actually Northern Kentucky. He's got a cigar out, and we started doing things like cigar maker branded spills. Clint Aaron at 262 kind of saw what we were doing, and he got it right away. We sell some of his. I think he's got four lines: Manifesto, Paradigm,
Ideology,
and Revere. Thank you. And all great smokes. He kind of saw what we were doing. He's like, and I'm like, I literally had. It was funny. He would go on the road, travel wherever he is, and then I'd get a request. Can I get that 262 on a spill? Which kind of makes sense. You know, spills are like the one accessory or the gift that you probably don't have if you're a cigar smoker. And again, customer driven. One of his guys, his fans, a cigar smoker, saw Clint somewhere on the road, contacted me. I reached out to Clint and said, hey, can we come to an agreement and we can sell 262 spills? He's like, yeah, sure. And it worked out really well. The one I'm absolutely most proud of, and we just put a press release on it a little while ago, is this is probably one of the oldest established names in cigars
really?
In the world.
Pergoss. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask you guys both. If either one of you smoke their cigars?
Cuban or
Either
non-Cuban?
One. I'm sorry. We should explain that for folks who listen there. So with Partagas here, it's kind of funny. There is how the lawsuit settled many years ago. I think it's General Cigar owns it outside of Cuba, and right. Havana SV or Havana
whatever it is,
Unlimited, owns it in Cuba. So I kind of think General got the better deal on it, maybe until we open up Cuba to trade. But that's how it worked. And again, I had somebody, and this somebody they were a customer, but they were a retailer. And it's a guy who's got a cigar shop out of Little Havana. Let me hold up. He wanted some custom spills. Little Havana cigar shop out in Yaccaville, California. He reached out to me because I think he saw me at IPCPR, although I didn't have a booth this past year. And I got a question for you guys about IPCPR before we're done. But he got a hold of me because he wanted some custom spills. And he's like, well, I want to put Partagas on them. I'm like, well, okay, I'd love to do that. It would be the greatest thing. It's one of the most oldest established names. It's tradition. They make great smokes. I've never had one, but I've been next to guys who've smoked them. So I've been pretty close, and I'm going to pick some up at some point.
Against cheat is a Canadian. Cubans are not a problem.
Yeah.
Go to Europe. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Number four is pretty legit.
Yeah. We're going to
Cuba next month for the Partagas Festival.
Nice.
Actually, this month, pardon me.
Yeah, as I said, it is this month. Yeah, we're in November. So this retailer reached out to me. He goes, yeah, I'd like to put these on the spills. I'd like to sell them in my shop and have them available. And I was like, well, that's great, but I don't know anybody at Havana or General Cigar. And he's like, oh, I do. I'm like, well, can you make a call or send an email? And probably within a day or two, he got back to me, said you should have an email forthcoming that says you have the permission to use our logo. And that's what we did. We got permission to use their logo, and we put it here on the spill box, as well as was on the spills, and it just made for, it's that little something extra. And I get that. I mean, I'm a cigar accessory. I'm not as cool or as interesting, I think, as the cigar makers. I mean, when I see a cigar maker, I end up talking and asking them the most insane things about farming and you know, how long are they sitting in the warehouse and what's your procedures for getting it from the field into the warehouse and then the curing and all that. But he wanted something that was just different for his cigar shop, and his is the only cigar shop in North America who's going to have these. It's, you know, and it's just really cool. And I'm like, so do you sell some of them? He's like, yeah, we sell quite a bit. And I think he's an airline pilot, and he goes back and forth between here and China. So, again, I think he's probably picking up some of the Cuban ones as well for his own use while he's overseas. But it's been really cool to see cigar makers look at Cedar Spills and go, wow, there's something to it. It adds to the enjoyment that our customers, our consumers have in enjoying our cigars. So in addition to the boutique guys like 262.
Nomad.
Yeah, I would say Fred Rui. I was thinking, what's Fred's last name? Rui. Nomad. We've been able to add a few others. Partagas, we're only selling in the shops now, but hopefully maybe we'll add some online in a while. But cigar makers are getting it, and they're kind of seeing there's something value added to telling the customer, take your time when you're buying our cigar, you know, whether it's 7, 8, 15, 20 bucks, whatever you're spending on it, take your time to fully enjoy the cigar and make the most of it. So that's just been a lot of fun. I can also say that I can't say who, but they were 1, 2, 3. There's 3 cigar makers right now, and I'll call them medium and 1 obscenely large, that we're working with and creating spills. So that's kind of neat. You know, somebody once told me when I first came out with the idea, it's like, well, if you can get a cigar maker to put them in their box, boom, there you go. And I was like, well, yeah, but no one's going to do that with a brand new product. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, it'll take a while, yeah.
And they're going to know everything about the wood and where did it come from, where did you get it, was it stored right, are there bugs in it, is it safe? You know, I've got a retailer now in Kuwait, which is cool. Like, I'm on 3 continents now, North America, Australia, New Zealand, and we're in the Middle East. But anytime you move product, whether it's cigars or my product, which is made of wood, there's a lot of things customs wants to know about. Was it stored properly? Is it bug-free? And can you prove it and give us the paperwork and such? So it's been interesting. But again, I always thought, yeah, if we can get some cigar makers to consider doing more than just that insert, you know, doing more than just putting this insert into the box, you're really telling folks, slow down, take the time. You just spent a lot of money on the cigar, make the most of it. And I think that's slowly happening. You know, again, I can't say who, but we're working on a few spills. And it's really cool. Of their own design. You know, I like my design. That's why we got a patent on this thing. I like the way it burns, the way it looks, its shape. It allows for text and languages, and it allows for a logo and an image. But everybody's got their whole idea. And it's better than tearing off a strip, because that strip of wood in the box generally is thicker. I can't guarantee the humidity of the storage, but it should be pretty good. But it's also irregular in its shape. You know, when you tear a piece of wood like that into a strip, like a piece of paper, it's going to be jagged. And when you light something that's jagged, it flares at different times. It goes down, and it's just a little different. So I just think it's a better way to go. And it's been fun. You know, watching people use your product that you come out with and go, yeah, that's okay, that's nice. And I can even say I have a competitor now. I won't be as nice and say who he is. Maybe you guys know who he is.
I did see that the other day, actually. I was very confused. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, he's different. Nice guy. We're saying that we're very nice and very friendly about it. He makes a neat little product. It's different from mine enough that...
You're not going to sue him.
Well, we're talking. I'll just put it that way. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about because patents are funny things in that regard. But he makes a great product. I just know, you know, I'm a manufacturer. I make all of mine. I'm not sure if he does or not, but he makes a nice product. It's different. It's a different price point. I just like mine better because I'm not sure his thought. His product looks like a sword. It looks like a little cocktail sword, longer. And it's neat in that idea. I think that's a classic kind of look. But I look at it and, like, if I had to make that what would break off, what would not package well, what would be a challenge, where could I put logos or text, or, and I don't know. I don't know what his approach was. But regardless, if people are taking the time to light cigars and light their pipes properly and get more enjoyment out of it, that's all that really matters. So it's been neat to see. Before I forget, you were at IPCPR, right? Both of
correct.
You? Or just,
I yeah. was. Yeah, Surgeon was not.
No, I was not. No. Logan didn't like me at that time.
I didn't let him into the fold at that point yet.
Well, if you do get a chance to go out under whatever circumstances, it's fun. It's one of the few trade shows, and I've been to a lot of trade shows in my life. Is the minute you walk into this, the room, the floor, the trade show floor, it smells wonderful. I mean, it's just tons of tobacco, pipe tobacco, even the weird hookah guys, and I don't mean hookah in a bad way or weird in a bad way. They're just usually over on a side. Even whatever they're burning or smoking or breathing adds to this great aroma. But one of the things I noticed, and I've asked a few other guys, some cigar makers and other guys out there who are bloggers and webs, the only two cigar types I saw out there for the most part, and by most I mean 75 to 80%, and I understand it's a trade show, they give away samples, were like these little petite Rothschilds. You know, they're kind of, you know, they're probably no more than 4 inches long and, you know, like a dime. And then the complete opposite end of that.
Yep.
70 ring gauge, 6 to 8 inch, just
behemoth.
Huge.
Yeah.
That's not a cigar, that's a mortar shell.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, what am I missing here? There's no, I like a Churchill, I like a Torpedo, I like something. But I'm like, you're giving away samples, I get the little things, but they were big name companies and even some of the boutique moderate sized guys. 70? I mean, that's,
it's ridiculous.
Cigars incoming.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's a trend that's coming out in the shops and the retailers. You know, and I'm not quite sure. I think the shops in Canada are different from here in the States. But again, but if you're in a lounge in Canada or anywhere, I don't see a lot of guys smoking the little petite Rothschilds unless they're out real quick and it's cold or at lunch.
They smoke the honkers.
I see guys smoking. You know, it's not like the, what is it, Lido, LFD's got the digger. You know,
yeah, that thing's ridiculous.
Commitment.
That's a commitment right there. But you got to get engaged to that thing before you smoke it.
Exactly. But these huge ring gauge cigars, I do see them a little bit more out there, and it just, I don't know, I didn't know if it's just me or it's, are guys really smoking that much? Are there folks in the chat room? Maybe you can respond. Are you guys smoking these mortars?
I mean, I have my thoughts. I personally don't, but I think we've had this discussion a lot of times, and I think that the more educated smokers become, as a general rule, the smaller vitolas that they smoke.
Yeah.
I think people that go into cigar shops are maybe a little less educated, and I think there's a lot of allure in cigars being able to say, you know, look at this massive cigar that I'm smoking.
Yeah.
And when the price point is within a buck or two, you can smoke the same Vitola, or not the same Vitola, but the same blend, and a Lancero or a 7x70 mortar shell, and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to smoke the mortar shell.
Yeah, why not?
There's
why
a value
not?
Proposition there for sure.
Yeah. But I just thought that was odd. In IPCPR, it's the huge trade show. Everybody's there in the tobacco, cigar, pipe, and related industry. And I just saw these things all over, and I was just like, wow. That's neat that they're giving them out. Maybe they've just got excessive amounts of tobacco out there, and they're doing it, or it's just a trend. You know, they're going to see if it's a fad or a trend that'll take place and happen. The other one I was going to ask you about when it came to IPCPR was the amount of boutique guys, and I classify boutiques as medium-sized companies that probably have 2 or 3 lines a year, not too many introductories. They're not making a million sticks. They're maybe making 50 to 100,000 or so.
Okay.
I always wondered if there was that much good tobacco out there, because there's a lot of great cigars, and this is all relative to your palate and what you like, but it amazes me that in that range of boutique cigar makers, there are some really great, great cigars being made with, I mean, is there that much good tobacco out there? And I really get surprised about.
Yeah.
It can't be. But maybe there's enough. Maybe there's enough for a short run.
I don't know. I mean, I've talked to several manufacturers in the last couple months just because of travel or whatever. And I keep hearing the same thing, that tobacco is getting harder and harder to procure. And if you want to, you know, cement the fact that your line's going to be around next year, you need to buy 2 years worth of tobacco right now to ensure that. And honestly, I think they're the right companies and the right boutiques are getting access to good tobacco, and they're doing kind of small production runs and stuff like that. But I think that just as many good companies or boutiques that are doing really well, I also think there's just as many or probably more that aren't getting access to that. And then hence why, you know, you'll see a company 1 year at the trade show and the next year you won't. But yeah, I mean, I think tobacco is getting harder and harder to procure because it's the entry into the market is just so freaking easy. I mean, you go down there with a check, tie a $50,000 bill around your neck, and they'll make any cigar for any gringo. Now, granted, how good is it going to be or what's going to be about? Nobody knows, but they'll do it.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I mean, I love what I'm doing with Spills, and I just had a call today with somebody. I think a lot of they see that I'm a cigar accessory and maybe think more, and they're like, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm coming out with a new cigar, and we're looking for distribution." And I'm like, "Oh, no, I don't do that. I don't distribute cigars. I just make Spills. That's all I do." But I have a lot of respect for the boutique guys. Anybody who's going to make a cigar, because you're right up there with craft beer, the craft coffee, the artisan. Well, you're not. I won't put the cupcake people in there because I just think they're crazy. You know, half cupcake, half icing.
Yeah.
I don't know how difficult that is, but the craft beer, the craft coffee, the boutique cigar guys, to even I imagine the entry point's probably $250,000 just to start, and that just gets you some sticks and maybe some bundles. But I have a lot of respect for them because they're going out there, and here in Louisville, we've probably got 6 to 8 really good cigar shops, and there's such a great selection of smokes out there at a $7 to $10, sometimes cheaper or less expensive price point. But the fact that these cigar makers can do that, and they continue every year, I go to IPCPR, I'll see one or two completely brand new guys entering the market, and they're usually younger guys. They seem to be pretty media savvy, and they make a good smoke, but it's more to your point, are they going to have enough tobacco next year to make another great smoke or another good smoke, or is it, one and done? It's got to be a crazy entrepreneur risk-taking gamble, but more power to them if they can do it and be successful at it.
Exactly. I mean, and I think that, you know, is kind of the really cool part about the cigar industry is that, you know, the barrier to entry is very low, but how savvy you are, how good you are with tobacco, how good your blends are, how good of a marketer you are can really affect, you know, are you going to be around next year or are you not? Yeah. So I think it's very, very interesting. So, you know, Tom, we're getting up here on the top of the hour. Surgeon, was there any more questions from the chat? That you had came in, my favorite Canadian.
I think the only outstanding question I didn't ask was, and I think you kind of touched on this, Tom, is when you're smoking, you would typically go through just one spill, or would you on average go through, you know, 1.5, 2 spills, or where do you usually sit with that?
I mean, well, you know, being the guy that invented and made this modern version of a spill, I've gotten pretty good at it.
User spills.
Yeah, I've gotten pretty good at it. So if I'm just if I'm taking the average a torpedo 7 inches, average ring gauge in the middle, it's probably going to take me half a spill, and the burn rate is probably 30 to 40 seconds on a spill. Again, that's taking a spill, lighting it, putting in a candle, you're using a lighter, holding it at a slight down angle like this, not completely down. I was in a cigar shop not too long ago. A guy lit this tip, got in a great conversation, loud debate with a guy, put the spill down at his side while it was still on fire because he was so engaged, and thus lost all the hair on the back of his hand.
That's awesome.
But no, I'll use one spill probably twice. But if my cigar is not ideally stored and it's a little rough, it may take me, more than one spill to get it. But, that's fine. They're handy. I can use them more than once. People often do. And that's the fun part about it. I can take my time and make sure I'm doing it right. Can I mention one last? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one last thing I wanted to mention since I have a semi-captive crowd here. These things here, I'll back up a little bit. You just said you went down and talked to
I did. I did.
Did you see Wes Thornton while he was down there? Was he in office?
He was in and out. I was just talking with John and Mike.
But here's an example. This is a crowned head. This is our friend Fred Rui over Nomad.
Yeah.
I love these things. These are actually cigar maker placards, and we are actually selling them. My official charity, Commonwealth Cedar Spills, our official charity, is Cigars for Warriors, which there are a number of great charities out there that donate and send supplies to our to our soldiers and warriors overseas. And one of the things when I first this isn't one you can buy yet, but we're working on it because we made it. I loved it and I thought it was so great. But this is probably one of the first ones we made. Gary Griffith and our friends over at Emilio.
Oh, yeah.
I told them what we were doing, and the whole idea of selling these placards is to raise money for Cigars for Warriors, because the only cost they really have, and it's a great organization, is postage. Postage is one of their biggest costs.
Absolutely.
Everybody donates time and effort to do the bundling of the packaging. Cigar makers, cigar retailers, the guys that do humidipacks, the guys that make cutters, matchmakers, guys that make cedar spills like me, we all donate stuff to Cigars for Warriors, and they break these things down, they bundle them, they put them in those United States Post Office white boxes. If it fits, it ships, and they send out hundreds and thousands of these every month to soldiers deployed overseas, Afghanistan, Iraq, the Philippines, Germany, doesn't matter. If you've got an APO or an AFO mailbox and you want some cigars, you simply go to Cigars for Warriors and put your name in, and they will get a care package out to you. And when I heard about that, I'm like, great, you guys are my charity. I love what you're doing. Not a problem. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, how do you guys cover postage every month? And they do get some cash donations. But I started making these placards for one of my favorite cigar shops here in town, Riverside Cigar Shop. I'll give Jeff a plug. He's just across the Ohio River in Indiana, in Jeffersonville. I started making them so he'd have something on his walls. He opened up about 2 years ago when I started my business, and he didn't have a lot of the posters and a lot of plaques and a lot of anything to put on his walls. And I made a couple of those using the cigar brands that he sold in his shops. None of his sales reps had any problem with it. We weren't reselling them. Well, we put them up on the walls as guys would come in, the cigar makers, the reps, they'd autograph them. And one day a guy came in and said, hey, I want to buy one of those. And we're both looking at each other like, buy what? You pay money for that? He's like, yeah, it'd look great in my man cave. So I talked to Storm and a couple of the other guys down at Cigars for Warriors, and I said, hey, I got this idea. It won't cost you guys anything. I'll donate all the time into it. And we sell them at shop.cedarspills.com, and all the proceeds benefit Cigars for Warriors. Now, we don't have every cigar brand out there in the world because, believe it or not, some of the big boys, the big cigar makers, are a little apprehensive, but we've got a ton of great companies up there now. I think everybody, just about everybody from Emilio, and I think it's the House of Emilio, is on board. Enrique, Gary Griffith came on board, Fred Rui at Nomad, Clint Aaron at 262, Crowned Heads came on board. We've got a couple other guys, but I think right now we've got just under 20 of them. And they look great. We ship them to you. They're just beautiful. I think they're a great way to support Cigars for Warriors, and they look great on your wall. And if you don't have, if we don't have your cigar brand that you'd like on a placard, let me know, and we'll. I love emailing a cigar company and going, hey, I've got some of your customers that would love to get this for a good cause. And it's kind of hard to say no when you've got that kind of, you know, customer-driven request.
No, I mean, that's, and I know, I mean, everyone, I think everyone knows that, you know, how active you are for Cigars for Warriors, and I know Storm really well, and I know that he appreciates what everyone does. So, I mean, it's super cool, and you can always check those out at shop.cedarspills.com. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to wrap it up. We do have the first night of Stogie Geeks. We'll be broadcasting live after Cigar Chat every week. On Cigar Federation. I know they have Matt Booth on tonight, so we'll wrap it up so everyone kind of head over there. But, Tom, before we head out, give a final kind of plug where people can find you, where they can find Spills, and where they can find you in social media.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, generally it's at Cedar Spills or cedarspills.com. is the educational marketing website, so you can kind of find out what we're talking about, why you want to use these or consider using them. If you want to buy some spills, or you want to buy a cigar placard to support Cigars for Warriors, or, you know, create your own spill and spill box, shop www.cedarspills.com, and we've got spills in there at every price point imaginable. Even have gift certificates, which, of course, this time of year we start thinking about that. We actually have a station, a radio station here in Louisville, the day after Halloween started playing nonstop Christmas music.
Oh, God.
Thinking that's too soon. Too soon.
That is way too soon.
And hopefully you should. And hopefully you'll start seeing Cedar. I mean, we are in a couple of national clubs and lounges, and if you don't see them in your club or lounge, send me an email, send me a tweet, let me know, and I'll go bother those guys and say, hey, you might want to consider having some spills around.
Exactly, exactly. Surgeon, I appreciate you stepping in once again.
You got
tell
it,
everyone
man.
Where they can find you, because
you can always,
everyone
you
should
can always
call
find
you.
Me. Yeah, man, you can always find me at Twitter, at CigarSurgeon.com. I've got reviews on CigarFed Tuesday and Friday. You can look me up. I count on the download, Reddit, at Avarice. I just want to send a special shout-out to everyone listening in Armed Forces Radio. As I said, we're coming up Monday is Veterans Day in the States, Remembrance Day here in Canada. Special shout-out to all the men and women serving, both active and retired. You know, you're in our hearts and minds as we come up to your special day. But, you know, every day they're in our hearts and minds. So just a special shout-out to everyone on Armed Forces Radio there.
Absolutely. And if you're listening on Armed Forces Radio Network or watching this on YouTube or wherever it may be, you can always download, go to our YouTube channel, Cigar Federation, to watch previous episodes. Check out them embedded on CigarFederation.com. And then finally, my newest addition and probably the coolest thing we've done is realize that podcasting is not dead. And you can check us out at iTunes, Cigar Federation. And we are now the fifth highest ranked cigar podcast on iTunes. So I'm just tracking that because it's not dead. But anyways, this is Logan Lawler with Cigar Federation. Believe next week. I have no idea who we have next week.
Awkward.
I have no idea. And I feel like such an idiot.
Well, I can check the website to find out more.
Check
the Cigar Federation website.
Check out Cigar Federation and figure that out. But I'm going to do it real quick.
You guys also have an incredibly great and active forum. I mean,
well, thank you.
You really do, and nobody seems to get out of control either. I mean, people have strong opinions, but it's helpful. It's educational. It seems genuine and spontaneous.
No, absolutely. First rule is don't be a jerk. And if you are, we're going to boot you quicker than I won't cuss, but we boot people who are jerks quicker than crap. Next Thursday at our regular time, 8 o'clock Central Standard, we have Paul Palmer from Casa Fernandez. So make sure to tune in next week. Everyone that's listening out there, have a great night. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see everyone until then on CigarFederation.com. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.